اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم أكل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. يا بقية الله أجرك الله. It's the anniversary of the Shahada of the 12th Imam's grandfather, Imam al-Sadiq, salamullahi alayhi. We say our condolences to our Imam. Ya baqiyat Allah. أجرك الله. The world is waiting for you, Ya Mawlai, to complete the task your grandfather was leading and tried to complete his time to eradicate injustice. Ya Aba Salih, we have read the reason why he wasn't able to complete his task was because his followers, the Shia, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, did not follow, did not do what they were told. I don't know exactly what they failed at, but we know it was not his failure, it was his companions. Ya Mawlai, I feel the reason why you're not here is because we're failing at this time. يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا جعفر ابن محمد أيها الصادق We ask you by the right of your mother whom you loved greatly You help us, we don't want to be failing your grandson, the 12th Imam, the way your followers at your time failed you. Ya Mawlai, it's these nights, it's asking Allah for forgiveness, It's straightening ourselves out, making sure we go back to the path of obedience of Allah that's going to make us not fail the Ahlul Bayt. We need to plead, Ya Abu Abdullah, whose heart is ready for Karbala. روحي فداك يا مولا I wish I was there to take the arrows that were shot towards your heart. I wish I was your shield when Harmala released the arrow that pierced your heart. I wish I was there when Harmala Release the arrow that pierced through Ali and al-Asghar's throat. I may have been able to be a shield. Ya Abu Abdullah. I wasn't there. You make me one of your grandson's companions. Inshallah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma inni as'aluka birahmatika allati wasa'at kulla shay. Wa biquwatika allati qaharta biha kulla shay. Wakhada'a laha kullu shay. وذل لها كل شيء وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقم اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء، اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها، اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك، وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع، أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته، اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكروك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك، ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت، سبحانك وبحمدك، ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي، كم من قبيح سترته وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلته وكم من عثار وقيته وكم من مكروه دفعته وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرته. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي، فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي، ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري، ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا، وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي، من لي غيرك؟ أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي، أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي، ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي، فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء، فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك، وخالفت بعض أوامرك، فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك، ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاؤك، وألزمني حكمك وبلاؤك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي، معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا، لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني، ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري وفكني من شد وثاقي. يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي. يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي، هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي وربي. أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك، وبعد من طوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك، ولهج به لساني من ذكرك، واعتقده ضميري من حبك، وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك. هيهات، أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته، أو تبعد من أدنيته، أو تشرد من آويته، أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدا، وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقا وبشكرك مادحا، وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققا، وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا ما هكذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه قليل مكثوه يسير بقاؤه قصير مدته فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك وهبني صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين ولأنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين يا غاية آمال العارفين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين ويا إله العالمين أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك وهو يناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي، فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانها؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجر زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك، ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك، لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كانت لأحد فيها مغرا ولا مقاما. لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين، من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين، وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما. أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها، أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته وكتمته أو أعلنته، أخفيته أو أظهرته، وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني، وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيته وبفضلك سترته، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلته أو إحسان فضلته أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفره أو خطأ تستره. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومالك رقي خلقي بيده ناصيتي يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا رب أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم أسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورة وبخدمتك موصولة وأعمالي عندك مقبول أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا يا سيدي معولي يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب قو على خدمتك جوارحي واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين في البارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين اللهم ومن دني بسوء فأريده ومن كادني فكيده واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك وأقربهم منزلهم زلفة لديك فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك وجد لي بجودك واعطف عليك واحفظني برحمتك واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا وقلبي بحبك متيما ومن علي بحسن إجابتك عثرتي واغفر زلتي فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي فبعزتك استجب دعائي وبلغني مناي ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي واكفني شر الجن والإنس يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء، فإنك فعال لما تشاء. يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء، ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء. يا سابغ النعم، يا دافع النقام، يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام، يا عالما لا يعلم، صل على محمد وآل محمد، وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله، ولا تفعل بنا ما نحن أهله. وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma صلي على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We express our condolences to our Imam on this occasion of the martyrdom of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq salamullahi alayh. This great Imam that we need to remember more than just a day or two during the year. And I hope that we have weeks or months perhaps even of commemoration, not necessarily in the form of the aza in the mourning that we do, but dedicate an entire month to each of the imams, to study them and to learn of them more, and hopefully helping us with getting a more complete picture of the Imam's lives and what they did. Imam al-Sadiq's period of Imama, salamullahi alayh, is a very crucial time, a very important time. A lot of many different events took place during this time. And covering all of that is something that's simply not possible in one session. Let me just say that if anyone were to focus on the life of an imam other than the ones that we commonly spend more time on, usually people hear more about Amirul Mu'mineen, the Holy Prophet, a little bit about Fatimatu Zahra, more about Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi, and that's pretty much it. We don't hear too much about any of the imams. But if one were to spend a little more time, dedicate time to studying a bit more the life of an imam, I would strongly recommend the first choice to go to the period of Imam al-Sadiq. It at least, what it does is that it raises many questions, and then it creates with those questions both motivation and direction in terms of studying the imams prior to him, after Imam al-Husayn, and also the imams after Imam al-Sadiq, and what happened and transpired there during their times. There's a lot that we owe to this imam. Very openly, what we owe Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi is more apparent to us than, say, what we owe Imam al-Kadhim or Imam al-Hadi or Imam al-Askari salamullah alayhim, because much of the basic practical laws, the teachings regarding our theology, our belief about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to the Ahlul Bayt, and so on and so forth, much of it is Qala Sadiq salamullahi alayh. Although it is known that Imam al-Baqir engaged in that journey or in that field more or earlier, but in terms of the quantity of what we have, there's definitely more from Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayh for various reasons. And so we owe that Imam much. I think what I can try to do in the brief time that we have to help us have a better understanding of that Imam, and also with that better understanding of that Imam, help us with the understanding of our responsibilities today, is to correct a misunderstanding related to Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh. And I'm going to try to be brief, and I hope I don't go too much over time. The understanding that exists at best by those who study the lives of the Ahlul Bayt in terms of what was happening is that Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh took advantage of the time that he was in, the conditions and circumstances he was in, for the benefit of Islam. In other words, what people commonly understand is that Imam al-Sadiq taught, he had classes, he had students, many students, some of the Imams, if we may call them, leaders of other schools of thought, other madhahib in terms of fiqh, of course, not in terms of theology, that's a different field. Some of the leaders of the other juridical schools of thought, like the Hanafi school of thought, or the Hanbali school of thought, or the Maliki school of thought, these are fiqhi school of thoughts, schools of thought. In other words, the distinction between these different schools of thought is simply their fiqhi approach in terms of practical laws and so on and so forth, not a theological school of thought. It is inaccurate to put the Ja'fari school of thought by these four schools of thought, because those are schools of thought of fiqh and jurisprudence. And the Ja'fari theological school of thought, there are numerous juridical schools of thought. Every marja' pretty much has got their own approach, or if you might divide the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt in terms of fiqh into various schools, like the school of, let's say, Ayatollah Burujerdi, the school of Ayatollah Khoui. These are recent scholars. Each of them established a certain methodology, a certain approach towards fiqh. And these are different schools within the Ithna Ashari school of thought, which is the theological school of thought. Anyhow, some of the leaders of the fiqhi schools of thought were students of Imam al-Sadiq. People hear that. We all hear that. And the common understanding is that, well, Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi was in a condition that he was more able to spend that time and do that and teach and have classes and so on and so forth. The ones who try to word it better and to make the imam seem a little more aware of the conditions that he was in and engaging in it, they word it in this way, that the imam saw an opportunity in that there wasn't a strong establishment in terms of government. The Umayyads were going down, they were in the process of being eradicated, and after they were, eventually they got rid of them, people's uprising got rid of the Umayyad dynasty. Then when the Abbasid was establishing itself, it took a number of years, and that gap that didn't allow for there to be a strong establishment that would want to control and to limit the Imams, as the Imams prior to Imam al-Sadiq and the Imams after Imam al-Sadiq experience, the Imam took advantage of that. So this is being aware of the conditions of the time. This is, although it might sound like it's doing some justice to Imam al-Sadiq, this is great injustice to Imam al-Sadiq, to Imam al-Baqir, and to Imam Zain al-Abidin, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. And the way it's injustice to them, to all of them, I will briefly put out, but specifically with Imam al-Sadiq, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about what he did and the period that he was in and what all he did. The reason why it's injustice to all those Imams is that the conditions that existed at the time, the revolts, the rebellions, the uprisings against the Umayyads, the call for the government of the Ahlul Bayt was the result of the work of Imam Zain al-Abidin and Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq, not something that they just witnessed and they took advantage of that. Some even use the word of they rode those waves, they saw the waves coming and they basically got onto those waves. No, they created those waves. The ones who created the massive waves that overthrew a dynasty that was very strong, in fact, was the Ahlul Bayt, was Imam Zain al-Abidin, was Imam al-Baqir. To not see that is injustice to the Imams. That is inaccurate, very inaccurate. But limiting what Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi did to simply having classes and teaching classes and at best perhaps correcting some notions that were inaccurate regarding what the Quran says, what the Prophet said, what the Sunnah of the Prophet is, in various areas, which he did all of that. But to think that that is what Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi did is very inaccurate, and it causes us to take an approach which is incorrect. It causes us to move in a direction that is not the direction of the Ahlul Bayt. It causes us to think of Imam al-Sadiq simply as a teacher that was engaged in teaching people regardless of what was happening. This is an approach that many preachers, speakers, even ulama, mujtahideen have unfortunately taken with the justification that this is what the Ahlul Bayt did. Saddam comes, Saddam falls, it doesn't matter. We're going to continue with fiqh. We're going to continue with usul. We're going to spend a little bit of time with ulumul Qur'an. We'll spend a little more time with tafsirul Qur'an. We'll spend a little bit of time with history. We'll write this book about it. What's going on? People getting slaughtered here, people getting slaughtered there. The kuffar coming in power and controlling the affairs of the believers. Let's just, Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi taught us, just continue with your fiqh, with your usul. If there's ideological questions, ideological problems, okay, we'll address them, right? These are some great ulama. You have various books written, volumes of works written in the dialogue, as it's called, between Shia and Sunni. While the kuffar are coming and controlling the affairs of the Muslimin, they are using the differences between Shia and Sunni to rule over both of them, to get them to do the killing of each other for the kuffar. Some of these ulama, may Allah bless their souls, they spent that time writing books about the dispute between Shia and Sunni and how we are correct and they are wrong. And we're sitting down and praising the great work that has been written, 8 volumes, 9 volumes. Well, those ahadith were always there. You didn't add anything. The arguments were always there. It's not a new debate. What does alim bi zaman mean? Well, this description, this understanding, this approach, this view of Imam al-Sadiq obviously will be leading to this type of approach. When I think my Imam, my sixth Imam, that I follow his madhab, is someone who cared less about whether it's the Umayyads or the Abbasids or what's going on in Medina, what's going on in Sham, what's going on in Iraq, what's going on in Khorasan, what's going on in Azerbaijan, none of that matters. Let's stick to our class in Medina. We want to teach fiqh to people. If that's my understanding of Imam al-Sadiq, obviously that's how I'm going to respond, that's how I'm going to act today. That's my understanding of Imam al-Sadiq. What do we expect? But is that Imam al-Sadiq? If that's Imam al-Sadiq, then why is Imam al-Sadiq sent to exile for 2 years in Kufa? Why? What's the issue? What problem do they have with Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayh? If this is what Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi did, why was he summoned time after time after time in various sessions to get the Imam to state that he does not believe in the Imam? There's so many ahadith, so many examples for me to give. There's a time that Abu Ja'far al-Mansur la'natullah alayhi, the first serious ruler of the Abbasids, he came to power. He summons the Imam. It's the month of Ramadan. He brings the Imam to his presence. He tells him, is today the month of Ramadan or is it Eid al-Fitr? Obviously, we know that Eid al-Fitr is haram to fast. You've got to break your fast. And during the month of Ramadan, it's haram to break your fast. It's wajib to fast. The Imam is brought there. The question is this: is today the beginning of the month of Shawwal? Is today Eid al-Fitr? Or is it the month of Ramadan? What type of stupid question is that? Do we approach that question in this very simple ways of some idiot asking the Imam to come? That's a stupid way of looking at that situation. You think this ruler that was able to destroy all competition in the Abbasid family and establish his rule for those many years was stupid enough to just bring the Imam, ask him a ridiculous question like that? The question that he's posing to the Imam is trying to get him to reveal what his views are, to say something. He knows what his views are, to say something about leadership. One of the rules in Islam is that if the Islamic ruler identifies a day to be the day of Eid, it's the day of Eid. And if he identifies that day to be the month of Ramadan, it's the month of Ramadan. He wants the Imam to say that today is Eid or the month of Ramadan, to consider that a claim of imamah, of governance, to say that in his presence, to give him an excuse to reveal what his beliefs regarding himself, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, as he called himself. That's what he's trying to do. And the Imam, in his clever ways, he said, today is whatever the Hakim says. And that fool thinks that the Imam means him. The Imam is saying, yes, whatever the Hakim says. He doesn't say who the Hakim is. Whatever you say, he said it's Eid. Again, he's putting that to test. He knows it's the month of Ramadan. But since he considers himself the ruler, he wants the Imam to follow that. He says, it's Eid, break your fast. The Imam breaks his fast. This is taqiyah. What is this? What's this set up for? If the Imam is simply teaching fiqh, he doesn't care. Umayyads are there, Abbasids are there, who cares? We're just going to teach our fiqh class. Why does Abu Ja'far al-Mansur have such an issue with the Imam? Not once, this is one of the instances. Why is he sent to exile? Exile, 2 years in Kufa. Why? What's going on? What did the Imam engage in? No, the Imam is not someone. There's a hadith amongst many. As I said, I want to be brief here. This is a period, again, with our inaccurate, inadequate understanding of that time. We think that these uprisings were just happening. We don't see as the imam having caused this condition. The imams having caused this condition. We don't see it as such. We see it as it just happened. That was happening there. People were unhappy with the Umayyads, and it so happened Abu Muslim al-Khurasani is general. He had the ability to unite people and create an army and start fighting the Umayyads, get rid of them. And they don't explain why the people were saying they want Ali Muhammad to rule. Where did that come from? Did Abu Muslim al-Khurasani work on people that when he started that slogan, everybody gathered around him and united with this one slogan of wanting the governments of the Ahlul Bayt? And then he had to go and beg and see which of the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet that he identified as the Ahlul Bayt, the relatives of the Prophet, which one he's going to put as the face of this government, because he's not the Ahlul Bayt. Anyhow, there's a hadith. We know this different people, these different uprisings, people came to Imam al-Sadiq, why don't you rise? And different responses coming from the imams. There's this one hadith in that context. A lot happens. One hadith, this one man comes and asks the imam, when is the arrival of the Qa'im? That term to us is a term that has a very specific meaning. It means the 12th imam, the one who rises, the upriser. It refers to the 12th imam. This man thinks that way. He's been taught that there is an imam that'll be the upriser, whether it's the 12th imam or whatever number of imam, which number imam it is, doesn't appear that the person knows. If he did, then he wouldn't be asking that question. There's a pretty long time before that imam is even born. There's a concept that there will be a qa'im from the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. Seeing the conditions, the revolts, the rebellions against the Umayyads, this tyranny is coming down. Is the Qa'im of the Ahlul Bayt going to rise and take his position as the Imam of the Muslimin or not? He says, when is this going to happen? He's referring to an Imam to come, another Imam. In other words, what he sees is that Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi is not the upriser. Imam al-Sadiq is not someone who is rising. Imam al-Sadiq is not someone who has risen. He doesn't see that. The response of the Imam should help us understand not just that Imam, but all of our Imams. Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi responds and he says, "Kulluna qa'im." All of us are qa'im. All of us are uprising. All of the imams rose against the tyrannies. They all rose. Not a single imam sat. Imam al-Mujtaba salamullahi alayhi, that is seen as someone who sat. That was a tactical thing in that particular moment. It was actually a tactic for the rise. It was part of the rise against Muawiyah and against the Umayyad dynasty. There's never an imam that sits that has nothing to do with what's going on. We don't have imams that are even reactionary to the conditions that they are in. We don't even have imams like that. Qa'im is someone who is rising for establishing the government of the Ahlul Bayt, the government of Allah, the rule of God on the face of the earth. Not that, okay, now a condition of dhulm has occurred. As long as the rule of Allah is not implemented throughout the globe, there is a need for rise. It doesn't matter whether it's this president or that president. This country who now has an empire or the other, whether it's the French or the Dutch or the British or the American or the Zionists or whatever other dynasty or empire, whatever it is that's in charge, as long as it's not the rule of Allah, there's got to be a rise. And all the imams rose. All the imams were active in that regard. We don't have an imam that watches things idly or watches things and does things in a reactionary way to think that the imam decided, okay, now's the time for us to teach these things. Let's take advantage of the time. And he's involved in creating those conditions. And he's got a plan for every situation that arises. This is the most important point, I think, that we need to make in regards to Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi. And it helps us in understanding not only that imam, but every single one of our imams. As followers of the Ahlul Bayt, we have got to learn this from the Ahlul Bayt. If the imams are all qa'im, they're all rising, not from the time of the birth of the 12th imam, not even from his father's time, every single one of the imams has got that property and or that quality and is engaged in that rise. And the 12th imam has been engaged in that. We've talked about that. I don't want to discuss that. That tells us that we have got to follow the footsteps of the Ahlul Bayt. We have got to want the rise of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. We've got to want that. And if we want that and we want to move in that direction, praying dua nudba every week is not sufficient. Asking Allah to do this for us is not the right way. You don't sit down at home and ask for rizq and say, God, you provide me with sustenance and do nothing about it. Go ask any. So this is one of the simple things that we have in Islam. You have to go and work for it while you make that dua. You can't sit at home and do your dua, oh Allah, save me in court, and not go find you the lawyers and have a strategy for the courtroom when it's coming up. You make that dua, you do what you need to do. Why is it that for the rise of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we simply make dua? Inshallah, the 12th imam will come and do it. Imam al-Sadiq said, we're all rising. As if we're following the madhab of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi, we should be rising. If we're not rising, if we're not wanting the rule of Allah on the face of the earth, and we're not moving in that direction in whatever way we understand is the right way to move in that direction, because before having that thought process, we don't even know that we need to do something about it. Once we fix that in our minds, then we can start thinking of, okay, so what does that mean practically? How do we do that? And people ask that question. Don't ask me that question. You don't come and ask me the question of how to get good grades on your exam when you need to get a good grade on it. You go and figure it out yourself. You don't wait on me to tell you how to buy a house when you need to do that or find a job. You know you need to find a job. You go and figure it out. You need to do this. We need to do this. Go figure it out. It's our responsibility to go and figure it out. We can't wait on anyone to and ask, okay, we didn't know, so we didn't do anything. It's like, you don't do that for sustenance. You don't do that for work. If nobody helps you, you're like, forget you guys and all the other words that are used. I'm going to go and do it myself. I'll figure it out myself. I'll do something about this. You don't wait. Inshallah, Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi blesses us with a correct understanding regarding himself and regarding the other imams, and helps us
with that understanding, to start wanting to follow their footsteps. And to start following, not just wanting. Wanting is the first step. After wanting, we actually engage in following their footsteps, inshallah. Wherever throughout the globe we are, there are those who have started this. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh saw this. He wasn't reactionary. He didn't wait for something to happen for him to come out and do something. His plan was, he knew that this taghut needs to be removed. The taghut in Iran needs to be removed, and that's not the only taghut that needs to be removed. He started working towards it, and he knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support, and Allah did support, and they removed the taghut from that area, and they cut off Dabir al-Zalimeen, this أين المعد لقطع دابر المتكبرين or دابر الظالمين. Where is the one who's been prepared for cutting off the support and the supply line of the ظالمين or the متكبرين, the arrogant and the oppressive forces? The support and the supply line of the Shah was the US government. And they cut that off as well by taking over the U.S. Embassy and making sure no part of Iran is under U.S. authority. When you have an embassy of any country, that is considered their soil. When you have the U.S. in your country, in that embassy, that means they have that much land in your country. It's theirs. And they will do and use that. That parasite, that virus will use that to spread its wings again and to create another tyranny. Imam Khomeini did that. It was not reactionary. He was the one that was calling the shots, moving in the direction that he was based on what Allah taught. The others reacted to what Imam Khomeini. This is a student of Imam al-Sadiq salallahu alayhi. This is the student of the Ahlul Bayt. And this is what we need to, we've seen it. If we didn't have someone at our time, if we didn't have a great alim, a great arif, and after him, the successor to him, Ayatollah Khamenei, if we didn't have these figures that are doing that are following the footsteps, the West is reacting to the decisions of the leader. Trying to invade Syria was a reaction to the revolution and for the believers being in Syria, for the believers creating resistance in Lebanon and supplying that resistance. It was a reaction to that. They tried to get rid of that support. What happened? The Muslims, the mu'mineen, the believers, led by the leader, had their own plan, and that succeeded. Instead of that getting blocked off, the movement expanded. Whatever they had to deal with before the Syrian invasion by the terrorists, it was a covert operation, but it was an invasion by these governments, Western governments, the U.S. particularly, that created ISIS and Jabhat al-Nusra and all these other names that sound Islamic, but they're all kufr. Whatever problem they had with the movement prior to that, they thought this is going to end the supply line of resistance, and they'll get rid of the resistance in Lebanon and in Palestine. Well, guess what? Not only is that not going to happen, but the presence is going to be more serious. The presence is now going to be that the resistance that you were dealing as a Lebanese force in Lebanon has now become a regional power, and they are a regional player. Not only do they have the potential, they are acting currently as a regional player. This is being on top of the game. This is not being a reactionary, but rather having plans. Plans that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us we need to have. And step by step, gradually moving in that direction. which is, of course, the manifestation of the movement of the 12th Imam. We've said this many times. I don't know how much it's believed, how many of us actually believe this, how many think it's an exaggeration, how many think it's just one of those statements about, you know, loving the Ahlul Bayt. What I mean by this is exactly what I'm saying. It is the 12th Imam's leadership and guidance that has caused both Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah Khomeini, and whoever is following that line and the accomplishments. It's all the blessings of the existence of the 12th Imam, plus much more that needs to be analyzed. And inshallah, when we see his face and we hear him, he can tell us of what the other things that he did during this time have been and are. Our Imam is in the state of Qiyam, but unseen. He's not someone that is sitting currently and will rise in the future. He is the sun behind the cloud that does everything that the sun that's not covered by the cloud does. So he is rising. We are not seeing him. We are not seeing the disk of the sun, but we are seeing the light of the sun, the brightness of the sun. And inshallah, soon we will see the sun himself, inshallah. But I hope that we see him in a condition that nahuffu bik in du'a nudba we have. Atarana nahuffu bik wa antanta ummul mala'. Do you see us that we are surrounding you and you are leading the masses and the elite, being in that close vicinity to the Imam, as opposed to being someone that just sees him at a distance? And in order to do that, we need to be of those who are standing with the Imam now, not standing in solidarity with someone who is oppressed, standing against all oppression, with a plan, not as a reaction to another instance of oppression that is probably guided, as many have said, and we're seeing clearer signs, as was hinted from the beginning of this episode of this rise. It's guided by the oppressive state, this apparent rise. Yes, there is momentum, people are angry, all of that is fine, but the direction and the leadership of it is by the Taghut. And the clearer signs are coming when they are supportive of what they call LGBT and Q and God knows what other letter they're going to add to that at what time. When they support that, you know that's not the right movement. Anytime that comes in, if the people who are rising, who are speaking, who are standing, if they don't distinguish themselves from that and say, we do not support that, it means this is a movement that belongs to the Taghut, to the Shaitan, and so on and so forth. It's a very clear sign. Any movement, whether they have a turban on their head or they don't, whether they're black or white or red or whatever color, if that comes into the picture and they don't distinguish themselves from it, they are part of it. They are being led by it. That's how it works. Know this. This is a rule of thumb, as one of the brothers used to say. It's a rule of thumb. It's an easy way to tell. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. Imam al-Sadiq's time was filled with all of these different revolts and rebellions. Some of the revolts were instructed and commanded by the Imam. The rise of Zayd ibn Ali ibn Hussein was not something that he just decided. He went to Sham, he got angry, he came back, and people wanted to rise. No. That's an inaccurate understanding of what happened with Zayd al-Shahid, that the Imam's support. No, this was a command by the Imam. It was directed by the Imam. It was part of what started the start of the armed rebellion against the Umayyads was Zayd's movement in Kufa. Afterwards, his son's movement in Jawzjan in Khorasan, which seems to be in current-day Afghanistan. And from there, Abu Muslim started it. his deviant movement, of course. All these different rises started happening. There were correct ones like Zayd al-Shahid, his son, Yahya ibn Zayd. And then there are others that were not part of this. To distinguish, at times the Imams would say, I wish I could pay for those who would rise against the Umayyads. At times when the Imams were approached to join those movements, the Imams would say, be the rug of your house, stay home, don't join that. To distinguish if this is a movement or it's an outburst of anger, of wrath, without any direction, or actually being something directed by some taghut, if it's not the main establishment, some other taghut that's trying to come to power. Distinguishing between that, these different fitan, it's a difficult thing. We ask Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi to help us, to guide us, to allow us to be part of the movement of the Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim ajma'in, inshallah. We ask Allah, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, to hasten the return of our Imam sallallahu alayk, Ya Abu Abdullah. Let's take our hearts to Medina, to Baqi', the lonely Baqi', that these days does not have any visitor. Very little, probably the few followers of the Ahlul Bayt that are in Medina hold their programs in their masajid, or even because of the oppressions and atrocities there in their homes, in private, where they're not seen. And inshallah, we see a day where Baqi has the grandest shrine of the Ahlul Bayt, as this is the greatest number of the Ahlul Bayt buried in one location in Medina, where we have four Imams in Baqi', the Holy Prophet in Masjid al-Nabi, and the Lady Fatima al-Zahra also there. Sixth Ma'asums should have the greatest shrine over there, inshallah. We will see that day. Sallallahu alayhi ya mazlum. Sallallahu Ya Aba Abdullah, Ya Ja'far ibn Muhammad, Ayyuha al-Sadiq, Ya ibn Rasulillah, Ruhi fidaka ya Mawlai. Consider yourselves in Baqi who prayed for being at Hajj this year, who prayed for going for the ziyarah of the A'imma in Medina in the month of Ramadan. This is your chance. You can inshallah ask Imam al-Sadiq, he will take you there with your soul, with your heart. Picture yourselves at Baqi. The only lights you see belong to Masjid al-Nabi. Baqi is dark. Sallallahu alayka ya Mawlai.
Imam al-Sadiq was mazloom in so many different ways. If it wasn't for the ones that he had trained, the ones who were part of his movement that gave it away, Imam al-Sadiq's movement would have succeeded in overthrowing the Umayyads and establishing their government. Imam al-Sadiq saw all of that, destroyed all the efforts he put into it, all the efforts his father and grandfather put into it. We have hadith, Allah had destined the plan to work in the year 140, but because of those companions of Imam al-Sadiq, all those efforts were lost. Ya Mawla, Ya Mazloom, it came to a point that the Imam was summoned a few times. They would come to the house of the Imam, tie him to a horse, ride the horse while the Imam is being pulled from behind the horse to be taken to the Khalifa or to the governor of Medina. Ya Allah, what a scene. There was a time they came, they set the house ablaze, it was on fire, the Imam was praying. This isn't the first time the house of the Ahlul Bayt is set on fire in Medina. Perhaps Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi, when he saw the door on fire, remembered his mother, the lady Fatima al-Zahra, روحي فداك يا فاطمة الزهراء. In the end, Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi was poisoned. They tried to say it was a natural death. Ya mazloom, Ya Aba Abdullah. It's Thursday night. I'm sure Imam al-Sadiq would want us to remember Imam al-Husayn. Ya Aba Abdullah. All of the Imams said one way or the another, La yawm ka yawmika ya Aba Abdullah. Ya Imam al-Sadiq, if they dragged you while your hands were tied in Medina, they trampled over the lifeless body of Imam al-Husayn. Ya Imam al-Sadiq, I'm sure it was difficult when they came to your house in the middle of the night and set your house afire, that you saw your family in danger, You had to protect them, but the family of Imam al-Hussein, when the tents were put on fire, did not have Imam al-Hussein to protect them, did not have Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas to protect them, did not have anyone to protect them. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك.
قازم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ قازم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ ہائے حسین کہہ کر آنسو بہا رہے ہیں قازم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ تابوت اٹھا کر جتنے قدم بڑھائے ہر ایک قدم پہ ان کو سجاد یاد آئے عابد کی بے بسی کا نوحہ سنا رہے ہیں قازم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ قازم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ منصور نے غزہ میں زہر جفا دیا تھا افلاک سے ملائک پور سے کھو آ رہے ہیں مظلوم کے بدر پر جس کا سر ہوا تھا قازم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ قازم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ نکلا دہن سے باغے ہائے جگر جو کٹ کر خون رنگ ہو گیا تھا مولا کا میرا بستر منظر یہ اہل دل کو دکھا رہے ہیں قازم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ قازم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ حیدر سے دشمنی یہ اب تک نہیں رکی ہے مولا حسن سے لے کر جعفر تک آ گئی ہے ہر ایک چراغ زہرا ظالم بجھا رہے ہیں قازم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ قازم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ اولاد سیدہ میں ایسا ہے یہ جنازہ جس میں مدینے والے دینے کو آئے پرسا اے اہل مدینہ نا سارے گے غم نا رہے ہیں جا ذم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ کاظم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ جعفر کے ذہن میں بھی کاظم کا ہے جنازہ میت اٹھانے والا وارث کوئی نہ ہوگا زہر کفن بھی جعفر خون روتے جا رہے ہیں کاظم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ کاظم اٹھا رہے ہیں جعفر کا جنازہ
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا خير خلق الله ويا خاتم النبيين وصفوة المرسلين صلى الله عليك يا أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب وصي رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين صلى الله عليك يا أبا محمد يا حسن بن علي أيها المجتبى صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين صلى الله عليك يا غريب الغرباء ويا معين الضعفاء والفقراء السلطان أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى أيها الرضا المرتضى صلى الله عليك وعلى آبائك وأبنائك جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته صلى الله عليك يا مولاي يا بقية الله يا حجة الله عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك وجعلنا من خير أعوانك وأنصارك والمستشهدين بين يديك صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.